Here's Fox creeping forward. He pulls up, 18-footer. De'Aaron Fox puts the Kings on top. Fakes once, fakes twice, gives to Belly. 35-foot three for the win. Nemanja Bjelica.
We deserve this win, man.
When we're done, we go chop it up, eat, right. Golf, whatever you want to do. But for these 48 minutes, I ain't about them games.
Welcome back to another episode of the King's Pulse podcast presented by the King's Herald. My name is Brendan Nunes, and we have Rich Ivanowski on here as we always do. What's going on, Rich? How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. I am feeling the love of the King's Herald family. As you just mentioned there, we should talk about it a little bit. It could have passed some listeners' ears. We are now part of the King's Herald. You, first of all, I don't think I ever congratulated you on joining the team. So congratulations, man. How is that suiting you?
Man, I've been eyeing the spot for a while when it was all the Sacktown royalty guys, and obviously the complications with that site, they've moved on, but I'm glad to be a part of that group, man. We've had a lot of the guys on the show before. So there was a little bit of a relationship there, but it's good, man. I will say I was surprised by the number of comments on posts, and that's enjoyable. But yeah, no, I got to pump through a few more articles, but I'm glad to be on board, man. I really appreciate that. And I'm definitely glad to have them affiliated with the podcast here as well, have some of those guys on here even more often than we do now, maybe figure out some fun segments with them and things like that as well.
Yeah, you'll be getting more Tim Maxwell. I think you'll be getting a lot of Bryant West as the draft approaches in the next 3 or 4 months here. October 16th, they moved it back a day. I think it's crazy, man. Think back to our first couple episodes. I think it's nice to take a moment to enjoy that. I don't think that we expected to be part of this group that I know that we both really highly respect at this point.
Yeah, I'm like I said, super glad to be on board with this for sure. And yeah, first episode was that does feel like a very long time ago, and a lot of steps have been taken since then for sure. And this is a big one. I think that this is going to do well for the podcast, and I'm glad to, like I said, get some more of those insightful voices, guys that really know what they're talking about with the team and different perspectives. It'll probably lead to more content for King's Pulse here. And yeah, I'm excited for this, and I think it's going to be really good for the pod here.
And also for anyone listening, especially if you are listening from the King's Herald post, let us know, and you can come on the show and talk about the Kings. Brendan's done a 916th man segment numerous times. Just anyone that is a fan of the team, reach out and we'll bring you on the podcast. You can talk a little Kings. And aside from that, make sure you check out what's going on over there. Obviously, great content is coming out of there constantly. I want to give a second to plug myself and Brendan in our first written collaboration that came out Monday afternoon. We did a mock draft of the lottery, went through the first 14 picks, including a Kings pick. Do you want to talk about that for a second, especially your pick for the Kings?
Oh, yeah. So just to kind of, we'll run through it really quickly. We did a tankathon simulation. It was, and then you and I switched off picks. And so Anthony Edwards, LaMelo Ball, just to kind of quickly go through who was off the table. Anthony Edwards, LaMelo Ball, Onyeka Okongwu, Killian Hayes, Obi Toppin, Devin Vassell, Cole Anthony, James Wiseman, Tyrese Halliburton. And then when you reach 10 here, you have Phoenix taking Isaac Okoro, 11 taking Denny Avdija, and then at 12 was sitting Sacramento. And man, if they were one spot above, I would have loved Okoro or Denny to go here. And then being 12, I mean, it kind of, to me, I was really looking at a wing, even though I like Maxi or Kyra Lewis. I mean, we've touched on, I mean, those guys would pretty much be backup point guards is what you'd be talking. So I felt like it needed to be a wing. And the decision was between Sadiq Bey, Aaron Nesmith. Kind of like, I feel like there's a good chance of that happening. I mean, there'll be other names thrown in there, like a Patrick Williams, but I've talked of wanting a high floor guy. And I think Sadiq Bey is kind of the safest here. I know you wrote about him recently. And he's never going to be your third best player or anything like that, but I don't think he would be all too far off from potentially sliding into a starting small forward role. It would take a little bit of time, don't get me wrong, but just a guy that can come in and be a passable 3-and-D wing with good size of 6'8". Admittedly, defensively, I'm more skeptical on Nesmith than most, despite his plus wingspan. And then also I feel better about Bay than most, probably with some lateral quickness concerns. But yeah, I mean, I kind of just went for the safe wing here in Bay, but I could be talked into Nesmith. I totally understand it. I mean, same with Pat Willow at times, but yeah, I ended up going Bay there. And I think that going through this mock was actually really fun to do. And it made me realize that it does kind of feel like 12 is almost a tier drop off in a way.
Yeah, I was definitely tempted to pick someone else for the San Antonio Spurs at 11 just to give the Kings a good player, but I'm not going to do that just to make it easier for you and for Kings fans. I think it's a pretty realistic chance that the draft plays out like that. Your choice of Bay, I like. I think I could really get behind it for the Kings because, you know, for all the reasons you've laid out, in them needing a high floor player. I mean, he just comes from a school that just makes, you know, plug and play guys. There's been five draft picks from Villanova six since 2017. And those guys, for the most part, like came in and were pretty much ready to go with a couple exceptions. But Josh Hart, Omari Spellman, Jalen Brunson, Mikal Bridges, Dante DiVincenzo, and Eric Paschal.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good hit rate. I do think that he's got some real upside questions, like you mentioned. My upside pick there is definitely Patrick Williams. I'm starting to get really high on this kid from Florida State. The Kings could also really mess up the development of a guy like Pat Will, and Bay would be the safer choice.
Yeah, you know, what was your most we won't get all too deep into it, but what was like your most difficult pick in this mock that you had to do?
I think early on was hard. I think that's kind of just how it goes in this draft. There just isn't any obvious number one guy. I think it's not a super clear top three, not a super clear top five. From pick one to pick three to pick five, like I think those were honestly the hard. It got easier as time went on because you can kind of grab whoever falls out of a tier.
Yeah. Yeah, fair enough. I might argue that Sacramento was my most difficult because, I don't know, some of the ones at the top, like I guess LaMelo and Killian, I like Killian better, but for a team that like we had Detroit bump up to number two where they would just have nothing going on in regards of a rebuild core or anything like that, then maybe you can just sort of have him as an engine there. So I don't know. Yeah, there were some difficult ones at the top for sure. But yeah, I mean, anyone that wants to check that out, definitely go read it at the King's Herald. Let us know who you would have picked there at 12. And yeah, we've been doing a lot of draft content here as well. I know we're going to keep up with that in the near future here. And then also on the King's Herald, you wrote recently kind of what we're going to dive into today about the schedule release and how the Kings are completely screwed over.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we've been wanting to do some more draft stuff, specifically want to get to Poku. But I think there's a little, you know, because the draft is now a little bit further away down the line, we want to get to the more pressing news. And the bubble schedule was released for all 22 teams on Friday night. So I'll just read off the Kings schedule real quick and we can get some first impressions. In order, their eight games will come against the Spurs, the Magic, the Mavericks, the Pelicans, the Nets, the Rockets, the Pelicans again, and finally the Lakers. Any first impressions there?
Initially, what I saw it was, I mean, I just think of Sacramento as a really streaky team, especially at times this season. And for the first two games specifically to be against the Spurs and the Magic, which are some of the easier opponents that are going to be at the bubble in Orlando, I really liked it. And, you know, there's a couple difficult ones. Like, you look at Houston and the Lakers being the last game, you would think that maybe they're resting, although this is obviously unprecedented. Maybe they're trying to get back into a groove or something. But overall, I mean, it feels like a somewhat easy, considering the talent that was available for them to play schedule, as it technically was supposed to be, right? Since Sacramento had one of the easier schedules remaining throughout the rest of the season, of the regular season, that didn't end up happening.
Yeah, that's what they say. They say that it's supposed to be a direct reflection of their remaining schedule, but yeah, I have questions about that, considering that the Kings' next game against a bubble opponent was the New Orleans Pelicans. Obviously, that game on March 11th, I believe it was canceled just seconds before tip-off, and everything. There's all this chatter about, you know, you'll just play the next team you were supposed to play in the bubble. Well, no, obviously not. The league cannot risk Zion Williamson's first game back being against the Kings, because no one would watch that game, right? Like, there just wouldn't be any viewership. I think that's what they think is really going to happen.
Yeah, that one definitely confused me, because, yeah, like you said, I mean, the whole pitch was you're just going to kind of play it in the same order, and obviously there's going to be kinks you have to work through, but instantly thrown out the window. First game, it's like, no, I think we need to put the Pelicans against someone more entertaining, and also playing them on the very first game also leads to them having a little bit more rest on some days, right? And that was kind of the whole thing that you had realized diving into this, that it's the rest mainly rather than the opponents that's really screwing the Kings over, right?
Yeah, I think the opponents are fine. There's something to be said for throwing out strength of schedule altogether. I know Bobby Marks of ESPN said, you know, do not think about strength of schedule with this remaining eight games, because it's kind of going to be reversed. Because if you've got, like you mentioned, the Lakers, seeing them in their last game, they could easily be resting. I do not think, you know, the Pelicans have a losing record. They're going to make your strength of schedule by win percentage look really good. You probably don't want to play them, because they have like the most to play for of anybody. So yeah, I mean, maybe it's not a good thing that the Kings are playing a lot of teams that are kind of on the edge of the playoff picture.
That's a really good point. I hadn't considered that, actually. Yeah, I mean, the Spurs and Magic, both teams that are really fighting for positioning. Spurs are, you know, fighting to make it, the Magic as well. And yeah, that is a really good point. And most of the games kind of come against teams that are really battling for a position like that. So yeah, I definitely see where Bobby's coming from with that. And it would be nice to have a rest advantage in one of these every once in a while.
Yeah, you know, a rest advantage would be nice. That was another thing that I feel a little bit misled by with the league announcements. They said that, you know, every team's going to play one back-to-back. And I feel like they were pretty outwardly spoken about that. And I think that's nice, and it makes it feel even. But I also kind of assumed that had meant that every team would also play a team that was on a back-to-back. So every team would have one day of rest disadvantage, and every team would have one day of rest advantage as well. But the Kings don't have that. You can read about this. I wrote a pretty petty rant about it on the Kings Herald that was published on Monday. but yeah, the Kings will have a truly stunning four games at rest disadvantage in these eight remaining games. They will not play any team that is coming off back-to-back. They're one of nine teams that will not get a team off back-to-back. Then they're also one of only four teams to see an opponent that has multiple days of rest. And they get that three different times. So there are six games out of 77 possible games where, you know, obviously everyone's going to have 100 plus days rest, you know, for their first game. So that's great. Let's set aside those first games back. There's 77 other games in Orlando Only six of them occur with one team or at least one team having multiple days rest beforehand. The Kings get three of those games. So that means that their game against the Houston Rockets, one of their games against the New Orleans Pelicans, and their game against the Los Angeles Lakers, they will be on one day's rest. The Kings will be on one day's rest, and those opponents will all have multiple days rest beforehand. So, yeah, stunning to me. They'll be on. Yeah, they do not get a rest advantage once. They get a rest disadvantage four times. No other team in the league is anything like that, anywhere close. To go into like the most advantageous situations, both Brooklyn and Philadelphia will have three games of rest advantage and only one game of rest disadvantage. And the more direct competition for the Kings in the Trailblazers and the Pelicans both have two games of rest advantage and one game of rest disadvantage. But I have a whole Excel spreadsheet about it that I put on Twitter. You can check that out at Ivanowski NBA. And I wrote a whole article about it on the Kings Herald. But any of this is frustrating to you as it is to me?
I mean, yeah, it's got to be. I'm just wondering like how this managed to happen. I mean, we won't get into all if this was intentionally, you know, Kings are bad to get the eighth seed and people want to see the Pelicans or Dame Lillard or Ja Morant. But yeah, I mean, it's got to be frustrating, you know. I think that it's not overcome. It's not anything they can't overcome. It's not game changing necessarily in a ridiculous manner, but these slight disadvantages are going to add up, especially in a time where, like you've said, it's been 100 plus days of rest for these guys. It's going to take some getting back into game shape, and having one extra day of rest is going to make a good bit of difference for some of these guys potentially. So yeah, got to think it's a little frustrating, but I guess this is what they're working with. And you want to kind of walk through these eight games, and like starting with the first one, we have the San Antonio Spurs.
Just before we do that, yeah. I will say just to get it out there, I do believe that this is somewhat intentional. I don't know that they're like specifically going out of their way to screw the Kings, but I think they are going out of their way to give advantages to big market teams. Like, that's always how it's been. When you look at the teams that have extra rest days, they're the money making teams. You got the Pelicans, you got the Jazz, you've got the Lakers, the Houston Rockets, and the LA Clippers twice. So, I mean, those are just big name teams in big markets. And I don't know if that's insidious, but it is what it is. I mean, there's disadvantages of being a small market team, and this is one of them. I think it's undeniable that this is one of them. I'll also point out that the Kings have faced an above league average number of back-to-backs in each of the five past seasons. So the last five regular seasons, the Kings are playing more than average back-to-backs, including a league high number of back-to-backs in 2016-17 and 2017-18. So I'll leave it there. I think it is a little bit, there's some BS going on there. It shouldn't make or break your season. It's not going to explain why the Kings couldn't break the 30 win mark for so many years, but it's not helping is all I'll say.
There's no shortage of action going on at our exclusive partners, betonline.ag. Sports are slowly making their way back, and BetOnline is leading the way with the best odds and lines for all UFC, NASCAR, boxing, and soccer matches. If you need even more, they have simulated NFL, NBA, and UFC simulations all day, every day, live on their website. If you're looking for something else other than sports, BetOnline has hundreds of casino games, poker tournaments, and prop bets to check out as well. Visit betonline.ag and use promo code BLUEWIRE for a free welcome bonus. That's one word, BLUEWIRE. BetOnline, your online wagering experts.
But with that, let's get into the schedule. I'm going to put a game out there to you, and I want you to give me you know, is this going to be a win or a loss? We can talk it through, but let's try to predict the schedule, predict the wins and losses of the schedule, starting Friday, July 31st against the San Antonio Spurs.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a win. I think that there could be concerns, I guess, because the Spurs have a little bit of an older team, but with no LaMarcus Aldridge there and DeMar DeRozan being the star of the team, I'm not all too concerned. I think that as long as they can score against the Spurs at a decent rate, I don't think that holding the Spurs, I don't think they're going to be a ridiculous offensive team themselves. So, yeah, I mean, I feel good about this first matchup. I think this is one of the easier ones you could have gotten if you're not talking like the Wizards, for example. So I'm going to go with a win.
I agree. I strongly agree. I think this is actually like the easiest game on the schedule, most likely. It's going to be weird because, you know, there's going to be some rust. So I don't want to say that I'm guaranteeing this is a W, but it feels like a pretty easy situation here. Yeah, as you mentioned, Spurs, one of the worst teams in the bubble. They're missing one of their best players. And also, generally, I actually don't know if this is true this year, but the Spurs are usually very good at home, and obviously they will not be at home. So, yeah, I feel really comfortable going with the win here. And if you're ready, I'll jump into the next game, which is against a team that does have a strange version of home court advantage. Sunday, August 2nd, the Orlando Magic.
Yeah, I mean, side note, this was probably my favorite game I went to of the Kings this year. One of the home game where Fox had like a ridiculous and one at the end. They actually ended up losing. I think it was Aaron Gordon put back. But yeah, I mean, this is kind of the same thing as the Spurs. Like, as long as you're not getting all too locked up, I think that you can't have anyone aside from Vucevic really doing work against you for Orlando. This one does make me more nervous. Like you're saying, this is a team that really has something to play for. Although I mean, they're mainly playing to kind of skip into that seventh seed where they're half a game behind Brooklyn because 5.5 games behind them in the ninth seed's Washington. So I don't know. I'm nervous about this one, but you know, it's one that I feel like could kind of go either way, and I'll go with a win here. I think that Sacramento kind of just needs to pull this one out, and I'm going to say they're riding a little bit of momentum from that first game against the Spurs.
I agree with you. This is trickier than it first looks. 30-35, the Magic are. But yeah, and I really do think it could go either way. I don't know how much the home court thing is going to take into effect. I don't know if that matters at all. There's no fans in the crowd, you know, so it's not like they have that element of it. So it is super – this is a borderline one. But I'm going to say win because I think they have to win it if they're going to make the playoffs. But I'll put this one down as a borderline win. Let's move on now to an undeniably tough matchup against the Dallas Mavericks on Tuesday, August 4th.
Yeah, the one where we're just going to see nonstop Luka tweets from everyone. I mean, I kind of just feel like this one's a loss, to be honest. Like, I feel like Dallas is a comfortably better team than Sacramento, and having a star guy that you can go to, even if he's not necessarily going to be in amazing shape like the rest of them, I think kind of puts Dallas over the hump here. And they have a lot to be playing for. I mean, they could potentially sneak up into the fourth seed. I guess depending how much that matters, it's kind of about who they're going to want to be playing in the opposing rounds. But yeah, being 2.5 games back from the fourth seed when they're sitting in seventh right now, there's a lot of variability with their rank, with their rankings. So I think they have a lot to play for. And I mean, having the one star player and, you know, Porzingis obviously being up there as well, I think puts Dallas over Sacramento here.
Yep. They're a much better team. And I definitely think they have something to play for. You know, maybe it doesn't matter seed 3 through 6, but they really want to get out of that 7 seed, I'd imagine, because they do not want to play the Clippers in the first round. So I don't know. Maybe they're a decent team to match up against them, but I don't think anyone really wants the Clippers in the first round. So I think they'll be playing hard, and I think that is a loss as well. Moving on here to the matchup on Thursday, August 6th. First one against the New Orleans Pelicans. This was also the first game where the Kings will be at a rest disadvantage. They get the Pelicans on multiple days rest here. This is a tough one, right?
This is a tough one, and this kind of feels like a make or break one pretty early on. Yeah, man, I'm really torn here. I mean, I want to. It's another one that really could go either way, and oof. I mean, I feel like they split the series with the Pelicans. They play them again later on here, so I don't know which one I want to say. Like, I guess I'll say they drop this one. They just lost the game before. But I don't know. Like I said, I think the Pelicans ones are going to be close. They're going to be the most fun games, assuming that both teams are still in and out at that point, since they're direct competitors there. And yeah, I mean, I'll say they drop this one, I guess. But these are going to be close and the most fun and telling games to me.
I have the same logic as you. I think that most likely outcome is they split it against the Pelicans. And I'll say this one's the loss because it's the rest disadvantage one. And here's hoping they win them both. But, you know, I think they can win the second one later on. But let's move on here to this is the back-to-back for the Kings. So very next day, Friday, August 7th, they get the Brooklyn Nets.
I mean, with no Wilson Chandler, this has got to be a win. No, I'm not all too worried about the Nets. It is their one back-to-back, but I just don't see the Nets as the most threatening the team. Like, I guess they're really pushing to not be that 8 seed and see Milwaukee in the first round, but to me, they're kind of out of it in the first round no matter. I just think that the Nets are also one of the easier teams that are going to the bubble, so I'm going to mark this one up as a win for the Kings.
Yeah, I agree. No Wilson Chandler, no Kyrie, no Durant. And then it just broke about an hour ago that Spencer Dinwiddie was tested positive for COVID as well. So, and that is putting his appearance in Orlando in question. But yeah, just in general, I think the Kings are probably a better team without Kyrie and Durant on this squad. So yeah, even despite the rest disadvantage, I think this was, you know, to give credit to the schedule makers here, they didn't give them a real beast of a team on the back-to-back. You know, I'll also note on the Pelicans back-to-back, they get the Wizards, which is the worst team in the bubble. So they did them even a bigger favor, but yeah, I'll go win here pretty comfortably. And then I think we have what could be the hardest matchup of the schedule, Sunday, August 9th against the Houston Rockets.
Yeah, I also think this is the most difficult game. It's kind of got to be, mainly because that Laker one, I'm feeling like they rest on the very last day, at least aren't going all out, being pretty comfortably in that one seed already. Yeah, I mean, like you said, it's the most difficult game. I think they're clearly outclassed. I think Houston was in a really good swing, getting used to Covington being a part of the lineup. And yeah, I mean, I think that this could – they just really need to not get blown out, because you can't have that bad momentum and taste in your mouth going into that next Pelicans game. But this is a loss for the Kings for me.
Yeah, I think it's a loss. I think that the Rockets, you know – I don't know how much they have to play for. I think they want to avoid falling into that 7 seed. but there's also a chance they don't care. You know, if they end up in that 4 or 5 spot, which I think is pretty likely, they may not care whether they're the 4 or the 5 because there's no home court advantage anyway. You know, you're pretty much on equal footing as the 4 or the 5. So, you know, there's a chance they start to take their foot off the gas. I think it's a little early for Houston, though, because I will say that this is Houston's 5th game, only their 5th game, even though it's the Kings' 6th game. So it's kind of relatively early in their schedule. So, yeah, I'll definitely call this one a loss. Next, we have the Pelicans again, this time on equal footing. I believe that's correct. Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I think that they're splitting it more than likely, and I said an L for the first Pelicans game. So I'm going to say that, you know, both teams are competitive, this assuming that's the case, and both teams are really still fighting for that potential 8-9 spot. I think this could be the most entertaining game of the bubble, outside of any potential playoffs that go on or play in. And yeah, I'm gonna chalk this one up as a win for the Kings here, because like I said, I think they end up splitting.
Agreed. I like the logic. And let's move quickly to the last game on the schedule. The Kings will close their regular season August 13th against the Los Angeles Lakers.
Man, this one, if it matters for the Kings and it doesn't for the Lakers, it should be a win. But that also terrifies me. I'm going to call it a win, but this game will scare me even if the Lakers have nothing to play for.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think that if the league really wants the Pelicans in the playoffs, they can always call up LeBron and be like, hey, just go play tonight. You got to pretend like you're trying to get back in the groove, and you and AD got to go out there and take care of the league's business for them. No, I kid about that, I guess, but I don't know.
I guess.
yeah, I mean, this is when you want to play the Lakers. This is the only team in the top 5 of either conference that the Kings are going to play. By far the best team on their schedule. You know, but that, again, like I said early on, that may be a good thing. It could really flip to the point where they're going to be so locked into the one seed that they just have nothing to gain from playing hard, playing with their best players on the floor. So, yeah, I mean, I think I feel comfortable. I feel comfortable calling this a win. I do.
Yeah, you're not ready for the Talen Horton Tucker 30 piece right here?
You never know. You never know. And I don't know. You tweeted about this game being a potential rest situation for the Lakers. I retweeted that saying, I just don't want to count on anything right now. Like, I have no idea what 2020 is. 2020 is so different. I could see, for whatever reason, like them more slowly ramping up LeBron and like maybe playing him less in the early games and getting him going later. Or like, I really don't know. I have no idea how rest is going to work, how scheduled rest is going to work for, you know, load management and all those stuff. All those purposes. But yeah, just to run down what we counted out here, we got 4 clear wins, 2 clear losses, and then a borderline win and a borderline loss. So that's a total of 5-3. But it seems like those 2 swing games could be pretty important, that Orlando game and that first Pelican game. I think that those are the keys to this. I think that they go 4-2 in the other 6 games, and then it's really those 2 swing games that could you know, either launch them to 6-2 or keep them down to 4-4.
Totally agreed. I'd like to think that energy and playing hard won't be an issue here, but there's times where we've seen the team get a little discouraged. And yeah, like I said, I think that they take that first one against San Antonio, and being able to win a second one in a row and kind of move forward with that, this Orlando game, I think you're right, it's going to be very pivotal here. Obviously, those Pelicans ones that you touched on. And, you know, I mean, we have predicted games a lot before and been wrong plenty of times. It could be completely backwards here where they're beating the Rockets and losing to the Spurs because it's just the Kings and that's what happens. But yeah, I mean, overall with the schedule they're working with, I think they are in a position where it's totally feasible to think that they are in that 9 or 8 spot. and potentially ending this this playoff drought.
Yeah, so let's do this. I think this would be fun. I'm going to do the same thing for you, but in a lightning round version where we're not going to talk about it. I'm just going to give you the game, and you're going to tell me win or loss, and we're going to do this for the Trailblazers and the Pelicans. You ready?
Okay.
All right, this is going to be the Trailblazers. First game against Memphis.
That's a win.
All right, Boston.
It's a loss.
Houston.
A loss.
Denver.
We'll say they steal one. It's a win.
Clippers.
Oh, God. It's a loss.
Philly.
It's a loss.
It's a tough schedule. Yeah. Dallas.
Man. We'll say they win that one.
Oh, you're being kind. All right. Yeah. And Brooklyn to end it.
That's a win. That's a hard schedule.
That's a really hard schedule. Wow. Listen to that stretch, that middle of their schedule. Boston, Houston, Denver, Clippers, Philly, Dallas.
Wow. Yeah.
That's a wild stretch.
Yeah, it makes me feel real good about Sacramento's schedule.
So that's 4-4 you got for the Blazers.
And I was nice on two of them.
And you were nice. I think that with that, because remember, everyone out there, the Blazers and the Pelicans are tied with the Kings, but they both own a tiebreaker. So the Kings need to win one more game than both these teams. By our predictions, it seems like they will win one more game than the Blazers. But let's get to the main event here with the Pelicans. I'm going to pull up their schedule, give you the same rapid-fire technique here. Game one, Pelicans against the Utah Jazz.
I think the Pelicans win that with no Bogdanovich.
Clippers.
That's a loss.
Grizzlies.
Oh, God. We'll call it a win.
All right, and then this is the first SAC game, so I'm gonna go with our previous guests here. They're gonna win that first Sacramento game. Mm-hmm. Next up is the Wizards.
That's a win.
Then the Spurs.
Oh shit, that's a win.
Then they're gonna lose their second game against Sacramento.
Oh God! So there are two games before the Sacramento one is the Spurs and the Wizards.
Yeah.
Oh man. Okay.
They're gonna be in good shape.
Yeah.
And their final game is against Orlando.
Yeah. I mean, I think Orlando could have something to play for. I don't know. I'd still give that to the Pelicans.
So they're gonna go 6-2. Which is good enough to beat the Kings pretty substantially. So I think as our base prediction here, what we've got is the Pelicans finishing one game ahead of the Kings. We didn't really talk about this, but I don't think anyone thinks that, the Grizzlies are going to be caught. 3.5 games is a ton to make up in 8 games. I don't really. I mean, assuming the Pelicans go 6-2, that means the Grizzlies got to go 2-6. I frankly don't really see that, considering how much they have to play for.
Yeah.
So we'll put that to the side. But I will say this: assuming you think the Pelicans go 6-2 and the Kings go 5-3, if the Kings win both games against the Pelicans, that means the Kings would make the play-in game.
Yeah. Yeah, with having two games against what is probably their biggest competition, I mean, they hold a lot of their fate in their own hands.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is the path right here. If the Kings are going to make the play-in game against the Grizzlies, the play-in miniseries against the Grizzlies, I think that's absolutely how it has to go. I think they beat the Spurs, beat the Magic, lose to Dallas. Got to beat the Pelicans twice, beat the Nets, lose to Houston, and get lucky on a rest day from the Lakers. I think that's the path. You got to go 6-2, and both of those wins got to be against two of those wins got to be against New Orleans, and you're in.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely doable, man. I still think these first couple games. I mean, like I've said, I think they're a streaky team, and you got a little bit of energy going, I mean, they can definitely play at a very high level. And like I said, it's doable. So it's going to be fun to watch if everything does end up taking place under safe circumstances, obviously. And yeah, man, I think that's most of what I got here. Is there anything else you feel like you want to touch on?
That's it, man. Yeah, make sure you check out our new partner, the King's Herald. We're really excited to be joining our podcast with that group. Go read the stuff over there all the time. Everyone over there is working really hard, and we're really excited to get this going.
Yeah, and if you happen to be a new listener hearing of us from that site, definitely give us feedback. Let us know what you're thinking. Like Rich said, we like to have listeners on the show at times, and we'll take show ideas, anything like that. You can follow the show on Twitter, and that'd be the best place to message us at Kings_Pulse. But that's going to do it for this episode of the King's Pulse podcast. Thank you to everybody for listening. If you
one more thing we just want to make sure we plug, when you are at kingsherald.com, please do check out the Patreon. For $5 a month, you can support local Kings coverage by fans for fans. You know, this is a group that was unfortunately, you know, pretty unceremoniously dropped from a bigger network that, frankly, you know, replaced Kings writers with Lakers fans. You know, I'll be blunt about it. Yeah, I mean, these are good guys. These are all Sacramento fans. And I highly suggest you visit the Patreon there, patreon.com/KingsHerald.
Definitely. And if you enjoy the podcast, we also would appreciate a 5-star review, subscribe, and like the show. Yeah, definitely. Like you said, check out everything going on with the King's Herald, their Patreon, and everything going on in there. And you'll hear from us at the King's Pulse podcast in the next couple of days here.